This is a session from the Renew Spiritual Leadership Conference at Lancaster Baptist Church in June of 2014.
And when I was given this title, A Devotional Walk with Christ, in my head I thought, you are cordially invited to a devotional walk with Christ. And I see it as an invitation. So that's kind of the premise of where we're starting with this lesson this afternoon. And I put out a few snacks. Not all those are from me. They're just, I guess, accumulated this afternoon to keep you awake. I know you're tired. I'm a little tired, but hasn't it been awesome?
Amen.
Oh, even this morning on the 10 o'clock session, well, let me introduce myself. Hi, I'm Tammy Schallenberg. And I do have the privilege of working here on campus. I work in the college offices. I'm the registrar for West Coast Baptist College. So, I get to look at every single application and every single salvation testimony. And these kids are from all of your churches. And it's awesome what's happening out there where you're at. And thank you for sending us and for trusting us with those young people when you send them where we're at. And we promise we'll do our best and send them out where you're at. We don't want to keep them around. We want them out in ministry. That is our goal, not students, graduates. So it's been a wonderful ride. My husband and I have been here for 20 years at Lancaster Baptist Church, and then I came on staff. He came on staff about 12 years ago. He takes care of all the beautiful grounds, and I work in the offices. So that's my life. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. We do come to you full, and we just ask for another smidge of space, Lord, in our hearts and in our minds as we look at a devotional walk with Christ, Lord. I pray that you would just be here with us, Father, and that you would touch hearts, and you would direct us accordingly, Lord, that we would seek your will and walk in your light, Father, and just bless this time together. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
So I think... Well, I did have a text at the top of there. It's disappeared, but the scripture is there. Of course, this year we've been renewing here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and so a lot of times we're using Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And like I said, when I got this title, A Devotional Walk with Christ, normally, I get to do like secretarial sessions. I was so excited that I could use Bible verses. Well, I do in secretarial, but I have to sneak them in a little. But I was really excited about doing this. Well, not real excited standing in front of all of you, but excited about being able to just open the Word of God and talk about walking with God. And I just saw it as an invitation. You are cordially invited to have a devotional walk with Christ. I picture a peaceful garden. I don't know about you. On a perfect day, luscious green trees, leaves crunching beneath my feet, perhaps a slight breeze. We don't get slight breezes around here. But I imagine a slight breeze. Birds singing and maybe even a babbling brook. Everything's peaceful, calm, serene. And then I open my eyes. And I realize the crickets I'm listening to are actually my cell phone alarm. Does anybody use crickets to wake up to in the morning? I do. Well, it's my alarm. It's not really that I'm walking along the beach or in the woods with the Lord. I'm waking up and reality hits. And if you're a mom with young children, you probably don't need an alarm. Your alarm comes in multiple sizes and ages, and it can go off any time of the night. You never know. And no matter how hard you put them on a schedule, no matter how hard you try, how many books you read, it's just not going to work. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. It's going to work. You can do it. But if it doesn't work, you just keep trying, okay? Or perhaps you're a single gal and you didn't mean to stay up half the night to finish that book or talk on the phone or whatever it is single gals do. That was a long time ago for me. But those 4 hours you've had aren't going to invite a refreshing walk with the Lord. Or perhaps you don't have children, maybe just a husband, pre-children, empty nest, as I am. You work full-time, maybe in a busy, demanding, but rewarding ministry. And from the moment you wake up till the moment your head hits the pillow, you are in go mode. Not stressed, not crazy, just go mode. And sometimes it's hard to just stop and remember that why we're here, why we're doing what we're doing, regardless your life stage. I don't think any of us will dispute that it's God's will for us to spend time with Him daily. We can't get around that. We can't make excuses. That's what He wants from us. Now, since we're going with the invitation theme, I was thinking about the front of the invitation. There's usually something that says you're invited to a baby shower or a bridal shower. But on the front of this invitation, it just has Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And then Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why do we have a devotional walk with Christ? Because He invites us to come. Last week, all of the staff ladies here at Lancaster Baptist and West Coast and all the ministries were invited. All the full-time staff ladies were invited to a meeting with Pastor. We got a blind CC email. It said, come to a meeting with Pastor, choir room 215. It was 2:00. We had no idea who else was invited. We just got this email. And we were all there at 2:10. We had no idea who was invited. But we got an email, and it was from Pastor, well, Pastor's secretary. And it said for us to be in the choir room. We were there. We were on time. We had our notepads. We had our pens. We were ready to go. And it was to give us a gift, just to say thank you. But when we got that invitation, we grabbed our supplies, and we got up, and we went. And I think that the Lord is asking us to do that each and every single day. He's asked us to come, and we need to grab our supplies and get up and go. I think when He says come, we should all be there. And Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Christ calls us to come. So, your notes are a little bit different than what I had planned, so I'm going to do this on the board a little bit, but we're going to start with choking the speaker. We're going to start with when. And this is a touchy subject. When should you come? And we're going to begin with time of day. We all have different schedules, but just hear me out. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Lancaster, California. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. I believe the time we need to meet with the Lord is first thing in our day. Just as our bodies, when we wake up, we're in a fasting state physically, and you've all heard we need to have nutrition. Breakfast is what? The most important meal of the day. It is. So is our walk with the Lord. We prioritize, and our walk with the Lord needs to be our priority. Personal time with the Lord, first things first. There's not a coach on this planet who strategizes with his team after they've played the game. Think about it. We often joke about men not wanting to be given directions or reading directions or Christmas time. Such a disaster. All those toys, all those pieces, leftovers, but heaven forbid they read a direction. But seriously, do we read our directions each and every day? If we're going to achieve our destination, if we're going to make the great design that's planned for us, we need to read the directions. We need to meet with the coach before we begin our day. It does take some strategy, but it's worth it. We need pep talk. We need life-guiding principles and encouragement and even chastisement. We need to strengthen our muscle of courage, perhaps stretch our faith, gather all the materials we're going to need for the day. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We're going to need that, and we're going to need to gather it each and every morning. And we surely are going to need a big dose of grace and mercy, regardless of our life stage. We need to get up every day and put on our armor. You need to spend time with the Lord. Now, if you don't have 5 hours every morning, space it out through the day, but don't begin your day, don't face your kids, your job, your husband, without spending time with the Lord, and just handing over that priority in your heart to God. You believe He answers prayer. You believe He's taking you to heaven. He promises to meet with us if we will take time to meet with Him. So we need to meet with Him at the time of the day, first thing, and then in different seasons of life. Seasons. Okay, well, however you want to spell seasons. First season, and this is the part that's not on your thing, so just kind of squeeze it in if you want. Season of life when we hurt. There are times in our lives when we're overcome with a season of sadness, loss of a loved one, children who are rebelling, marriage trials. Psalm 61, 1 and 2 says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." A season of life when we hurt. And what about the season of life when we're fearful? That's different than hurting. Fear, it makes your heart beat faster, and it removes rest and peace from your life. You wake up in the night and it's not your two-year-old. Fear can be caused by real threat of your well-being. Maybe you're waiting for a biopsy diagnosis, or you're expecting a phone call, or hoping not to get a phone call, or something. Fear can be for a future occurrence, something that you suspect is going to come on the horizon. But Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord, he shall be safe." And of course, Psalm 34:4, "I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." If you are fearful, I would venture a guess, you're not speaking and spending time with the Lord. He promises to deliver us from all our fears. And then what about when we're worried? What? Worry? Us? No. Yes, worry causes deep furrows, these things between your brow, yes. And the ability, or the inability, to eat and sleep disrupts our daily patterns of living. And the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So when we hurt, when we're fearful, when we're worried, these seasons of life, we should be meeting with God. But then again, another season should be every day when we just want to praise Him, when we just want to thank Him, regardless of the trials that we're going through. And as you go through Psalm 100, He asks for an audible offering of praise. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Because we're worshiping our God, the Creator, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves." An offering of identification. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Because we're worshiping God, who deserves all the glory, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Remember, we're worshiping the eternal God. His truth endureth to all generations. So, our seasons of life, when we hurt, when we're fearful, when we're worried, and when we just want to praise Him. Now, we're going to move on. That was when, to where. And this is where your notes kind of get a little crazy. Because the heart things are the next section. The heart is going to fall under what to bring. And I don't think what to bring is on here. So where it says where, that should say what to bring. And we're going to look at where right now. A devotional walk with God, where? And we're going to start in the garden. should have had two pieces of paper, sorry. We're going to start our walk with the Lord in the garden where we find peace. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Again, when I think of the garden, I think of peace and solitude. There was the Garden of Eden, where God created an oasis for Adam and Eve in which to live in love. And then there was the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus knelt in the presence of God and sought God's heart and will. And then there's the garden of our hearts, where, if we allow it, God will abide and cultivate an oasis of his blessings and also direction and revelation of his will for our lives. We're going to have to do some raking. We're going to have to rake out that rubbish. We're going to have to rake out piles of guilt. We're going to have to rake out the sin and shame. And we're going to have to fertilize with God's word and time spent with him. But if we tend to the garden, we will find his sustaining grace and mercy that can be found with a close walk with the Lord. So when, time of day, seasons of life, where in the garden where we find peace? Where at the banqueting table? Okay, so maybe typed out would have been a little bit nicer, but anyway. At the banqueting table, where we find sustenance. 2 Corinthians 12 tells us, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Our bodies require nutrition, and so does our soul. And if we come to the Lord, to his banqueting table, we will find sustenance. At other times, we're going to find him where? In the valley. Isn't it amazing? Doesn't matter where we go, we are going to find him. And that's where we find comfort. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have moment valleys, kind of like when I walked in and saw this room. when a thought occurs, or maybe a comment is given, or an action is displayed, boom, I'm down in the valley. Do you ever go down quickly? But right then, we can find God's comfort. Other times, I go through seasons in the valley, and we just need to be renewed day by day, moment to moment, for a span of time in our walk with the Lord. We will find him where? We will find him in the valley, where he offers comfort. But we're also going to find him on the mountaintop. And there is where we're going to rejoice in his goodness. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So as we're being invited, cordially invited, to a devotional walk with Christ, the Bible gives us our information. Why? Because he asks us to come. When? Well, there is a time of day, and then there's our seasons of life. Where? Well, he wants to meet with us in the garden, at the banqueting table, in the valley, on the mountaintop. And next is what to bring. And that's where you can put where that word says where. Now we're going to get to the heart of the issue. What do you bring when you meet with the Lord? Well, the first thing you need to bring is a repentant heart. God cannot hear our prayers if we're harboring unconfessed sin. Psalm 66:18 tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's one of those Greek, Hebrew, English verses. pretty plain, right? I love when pastor does that. So pretty much it just means if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. King David, he made a few mistakes in his lifetime. But he was referred to as a man after God's own heart. That's so reassuring to me. How can that be? Because he was repentant. He humbled himself before the Lord constantly. Psalm 51, 1 and 2. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. If God cannot hear our prayers with unconfessed sin, we have to start with a repentant heart. Sometimes when I'm praying, I picture sweeping through the corners of my mind. I don't know, maybe I'm kind of weird. But just, is there anything in this corner, Lord? Or is there anything over here? I just ask him to tell me. My list of prayer requests is important. And I want to make sure he is right there with me. And he's listening. And he's answering. And then, after a repentant heart, we do need a pure heart. Matthew 5, 6, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who gets invited to a shower or to an event or to anything and doesn't expect to see the person of honor? You're invited to this walk with Christ. You should expect to see him. But the Bible tells us in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We need to have a repentant heart, and then we need to have a pure heart. Psalm 24, 3 and 4, the Bible says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity or sworn deceitfully. And the next thing we need to bring before him is a broken heart. And I'm not speaking of broken hurting. We sometimes have broken hearts. Kids, people, they can do that to us. But here I'm speaking of a broken heart of our pride, a broken heart of ourself, broken to be spilled out and used up for him. I love the story of Mary of Bethany in John 12, where it's told that she took a pound of ointment of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Once again, we find Martha serving, but Mary at the feet of Jesus. The Gospel of Mark tells the same story, and Jesus is quoted as saying, she hath wrought a good work on me. I guess I'm pretty visual, so when I think of having a broken spirit or being broken and spilled out, I think of that. Am I being broken of all that's in me that is me? Because we need to come to him with a broken heart. Psalm 51:16 tells us, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. And thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God, thou wilt not despise. And then our last heart, well, there's probably more, but my last heart, is a trusting heart. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who does not want to please our Heavenly Father? And if we do not have faith, if we do not trust what he's given to us in the Word of God, all these promises, we can't please him. So we need to have a trusting heart. There's a verse in Proverbs, a couple verses, Proverbs 3, 4 and 5, that we learn as small children. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. But if you really think about that verse, it's very serious and very simple and just so full of good doctrine for women. Trust in the Lord. That's hard for us. It's just so rich. There's things in this world, no matter how much we study his word, no matter how much time we spend in prayer, and no matter how surrendered and committed we are, that we're not going to understand. Have you found a few of those? I have a few of those in my life. As Christians, we sometimes hear said, oh, when I get to heaven, I have a whole list of questions for God. I'm going to ask him about this, and I want to figure out why this happened. But you know what? He only is omniscient. We will never, ever know everything. The Bible doesn't say that we will. When we get to heaven, we're going to be worshiping and praising him and casting crowns. Oh, I pray I'm casting crowns at his feet. We're not going to know everything. There's things we need to trust him with in our lives, and we're never going to know the answers to. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. When you come to him in your devotions, in your prayer time, hand it to him and don't take it back. Trust in the Lord. So that was my last heart. So we know when and where, and now we know what to bring. So now we're going to go on and start our directions. Because every invitation has directions on it. Well, it used to, every invitation had directions. Now we just all have GPS, so we don't need them anymore. Well, sometimes. Have you ever used your GPS and they took you on this like wild goose chase and it was like right around the corner? Yeah. Oh, today, bummer. Okay, so we're going to start out by, these are simple directions, reading the Word of God. That's how we're going to start. Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Find, search, come across a Bible reading schedule that you are comfortable with. The Lord tells us to read his word. Sometimes we have great goals and we don't make it through. His instructions don't change. The directions don't change. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If this is a really busy time in your life, don't plan to read through the Bible 7 times in 1 year. You're going to get frustrated. Some people find that it's easier if you read, you know, a chapter of the Old, a chapter of the New, a Psalm, a Proverb, if that's what you're using for your devotional. There's great Bible reading apps. Personally, I love to use my Bible with my pen and make my notes. But my kids probably use their iPads or iPhones or whatever it is they use for their Bible reading. Or whatever you use, find a plan. There's some great plans, Bible reading plans. I read chronologically, so because I just like to keep everything in order. That's just the kind of person I am. Anyway, but don't neglect the most basic of directions. Even, you never know, every time I read through the Word of God, something new. There is always something new. So start out. We must read the Word of God. And then you will turn right by meditating on the Word of God. It's not enough just to say, oh, I read Matthew 1:1 today. Well, good for you. What was it in Matthew 1:1 that affected your life today? Psalm 1:1-2 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. The definition of meditate is to think deeply or carefully about something, ponder, think, consider. Make sure this is just not an item on your to-do list. Make sure it's not, oh, I read my Bible. Whew, okay, I'm done with that. Now I can go do dishes or make breakfast. Make sure you grab a thought or a theme. You can do a verse study. A dear friend of mine loves to take a word, and she just takes it and takes it and takes it. And it's wonderful. I love hearing what she's learned about the word of the month or the day or the week or whatever. But just find something to dig deeper into the Word of God. That's how we're going to grow. Then the next one is you'll run into roadblocks if you don't memorize the Word of God. Why is that so difficult? Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Do you have a struggle in your life? We all have besetting sins. Everybody does. What are you struggling with? Memorizing God's word in your heart will help you get away from whatever it is you're struggling with. You have to memorize. The Bible tells us to be ready to always give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of hope that is in you. Start with the plan of salvation. Make sure you know the Romans road. Just go out soul winning and start reading the back of that track. You'll memorize it eventually. And then you'll have it buried in your heart. Having those words in your heart, you never know when those words are going to be important to you. You never know when the Holy Spirit's going to be able to use those words to help you or to help somebody else. You have to bury God's word in your heart. And once you start memorizing the word of God, if you do it like in blocks of scripture, you'll see that there are patterns and there's song to it. It's almost, there's a melody when you start memorizing and you start, there's a cadence sometimes, I guess is what I'm trying to say, to a lot of the scripture. Memorize it. And then finally, the directions will become clear as you communicate with God. And that's our time with prayer. Psalm 109:4. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself into prayer. It's one of my favorite verses, and so I didn't write it down. And of course, you know, my mind went blank. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself into prayer. What is it in your life that's taking you away from your time in prayer? Think about it. And Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. We need to communicate with God. I really like the X acrostic when I am in a period of prayer, and I always start with adoration. As you're communicating with God, in Revelation chapter 4, it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So I always start with adoration. I always start with adoration because I think it humbles us before the Lord, recognizing who He is and who we are. Who we are and who He is. Start with adoration. Then you can't get much further if you haven't confessed your sins. So adoration, confession. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Confession. Adoration, confession. Thanksgiving is the next one. Colossians 2. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding with thanksgiving. Keep your heart content with thanksgiving. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and finally supplication. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open, for everyone that asketh receiveth. I cannot explain answered and seemingly unanswered prayer. Like I said, there's things I won't know this side of heaven, and there's things that I won't learn that side of heaven. But I know the Bible tells me to pray without ceasing. That's an instruction given to us by God. To pray without ceasing. As we finish up, we need to, is that three again? RSVP. Commit to a time and a place. And Pastor said this morning, I thought, oh, you took that from my lesson. But now that I thought about it, I think he said it first. Anyway, a goal without a plan is just a wish. It's one thing to come and listen to a lesson on a devotional walk with Christ, and then it's another thing to actually sit down and take your notes and make a plan. A goal without a plan is just a wish. Make an appointment. Meet with God at that appointment each and every day. think of it as life-giving. That is, it is your sustenance. It is how you're going to get through your day. Realize how much his invitation cost him when he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross so that we could come to him and kneel before him each and every day. Make an appointment with the Lord. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that today, Father, each and every one of us would have a plan, Lord, to meet with you each and every day, Father, and that we would just draw close through our time with you. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.